When I was trying to decide the best way to translate the message that I, Paul, wrote to the churches in Galatia, to the people here in the 21st century, I gave thought to thinking about just coming here myself and talking to you. You see, the situation in the church in that day is not very different from the situation in the church today. In the church in the first century, you had Gentiles and Jews. The Jewish Christians had come to accept Christ Jesus as the Messiah, the ultimate proclaimer of the good news of the anointing of God for the people of Israel, as a light unto the nations. The anointing of God for the people of Israel to proclaim the good news that God welcomes all into the family of faith without regard to ethnicity, without regard to religious background, without regard to the law. God has called all into the family of faith. The Gentiles had always been outside. They'd been rejected. They could come in if they would change, if they would adopt the dietary regulations, if they would adopt circumcision, if they would become Jews, they could enter in. But we never went out to try to get them. We would welcome them if they came. We would teach them if they asked. We would receive them if they changed. But we never sought them out until Christ Jesus came and told us that we were to go out and seek the lost sheep of the tribe of Israel, to seek all and to preach the good news to all and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And so I went and I preached the good news, the gospel to the Gentiles, and I proclaimed to them that God loves them and God wants to receive them, and all they need to do to become a member of the family of faith is simply to believe in Jesus Christ, to believe the message He proclaimed, to believe His death and resurrection opened the way so that they could come into the family of faith and be part of Israel, new Israel. And I would found a church and I would go away. And my brothers and sisters in the Jewish Christian community would follow me in. And they would say, "Welcome, Gentiles. Welcome to the family of faith. Sadly, the one who preached the gospel to you didn't tell you everything. Sadly, you're going to have to become a Jew. But the good news is, you're in. The good news is you're a part of the family of faith. The good news is you now have an opportunity to enter into the covenant." That's the good news, believe it or not. You Gentile men and women, you get to be a part. Yes, it's going to cost you not too much. Yes, it's going to cost you new cooking. Yes, it's going to cost you a little bit of flesh. But it doesn't matter. You're a part of the family of faith. And they said that you couldn't trust me. They said you couldn't trust me because I once persecuted the church. And they said you couldn't trust me because I was trying to convert you without any other obligations and earn your favor. So I didn't tell you everything. It's true, I once persecuted the church, but then God converted me and called me to proclaim the good news to all. The Jewish Christians say, "Paul does away with the law. Used to be a member of the covenant community, you had to keep the law of Moses, the law that came on Mount Sinai, good and holy law. To be a member of the covenant community, one had to abide by the rules and regulations that typified what it meant to be a Jew, to be a member of the household of David, to be a member of the Hebrew people. One followed the Mosaic covenant. To be Israel, one had to be and live as Israel, and look and act as Israel. So what is the purpose of the law? If it's not to typify how one is to live, if it doesn't describe how one gets saved, if it doesn't illustrate how one enters into a relationship with God, then what is the purpose of the law? And in my letter to the Galatians, here in what you all call chapter 3, that's where I'm going. I'm going to address the issue of the law. You see, the law was understood as that which you did to be part of Israel. And if you weren't doing it, how could you be part of Israel? Well, by faith. Because originally, long before the law ever came along, you had Abram and Sarah. You had their faith. Abram believed God, and that belief, that very active belief, that faith was considered as righteousness in his life. Yes, he was not perfect. Yes, he had lots of failings. As we will see in a couple of weeks, he and Sarah tried to get God's will done by their own strength and ability and caused a great big mess. We're always doing that. But at least in the core of their being, they had faith. Abram went out and looked up and saw the stars up in the heaven and heard God say to him, "You'll have children like those. More children than that." Wow, that was a miracle because Abram was old and Sarah was old. And yet they would have kids as numerous as the stars up in the sky. That would take a miracle. And at first their faith wavered, and at first they laughed, but eventually they had faith. And that faith, that act of belief, was considered as if it were righteousness for Abraham. It was considered as if that was the way in which Abraham entered into the relationship with God. Indeed, it was that faith that brought Abraham and Sarah into a relationship with the Creator of the universe. For by faith, he and Sarah did indeed conceive a child of promise, Isaac, whom we'll talk about later. Faith. Faith came first. Membership in the community, membership in the people of God came by faith first. Not by law. Not by the law of Moses. Not by Sinai. But by faith. Simple, active, trusting, believing. Believing it and acting upon it. That's how one originally was a member of the family. Then later, because people wanted to know how to combat sin and wanted to know what sin looked like, the law was added. The law of Moses, the Sinai covenant, was added to describe what sin was, to describe what the path should look like, to describe how one should enter into the covenant community and live their life as part of Israel. That was the purpose of the law. In other words, the purpose of the law was to serve as a teacher, a schoolmaster, an instructor, to show us how God would call us to live if we were truly living by faith, to show us what the love of God would look like flowing through us to others if we were living by faith. Unfortunately, the people of God turned it around and said, "You become a member of the community of faith. You become a member of Israel by abiding by the rules and regulations of the Mosaic covenant. And if you do good works, you'll be a member of the community. And if you do good works, you will enter into a relationship with God, and if you do good works, you can earn your way into paradise and the second life in the resurrection." It was a mistake. It was a step in the wrong direction, this message of the Pharisees.
I was one of them, and I could preach it, and I was good at it. Jesus came to say something different. He came to say that it was about trusting in our eternal heavenly Creator, Father and Mother. Trusting in the faith that Abraham himself and Sarah herself exemplified. Trusting, faithing was the way. And when you did that, when you lived by faith, then the schoolmaster, the teacher, shows you what should flow from you. Not doing the works to be saved, but living by faith reflects salvation, and then your life lives accordingly, and good works simply flow by nature of God's presence in you. The law is the schoolmaster, the teacher, the guide to show us how we are called to live. Unfortunately, my Jewish Christian sisters and brothers, they tended to want to put the cart before the horse yet again. Yes, it's a good thing that you get to come in by faith, but now you're going to perfect your faith. You're going to really become a Christian. You're going to stay a Christian, and you're going to grow as a Christian by doing the works of the law. Gentlemen, that means circumcision. That means cooking kosher. That means wearing clothing with only one kind of thread. That means sowing your field with only one kind of seed. That means keeping all of the blood purity laws. And there's a lot of them. Your pastor had dinner with some friends of his, members of the church. And their dog, in their excitement, one of their dogs decided to taste the pastor. Let's put it that way. According to the rules and the regulations of the Torah, for 2.5 weeks, your pastor would have been unclean because he had an issue of blood on his hand from the bite. That's insane, and yet that's what the law said. And that's what the Jewish Christians who were following me were telling the Gentiles they would have to do. They would have to abide by the rules and the regulations of the Torah if they wanted to be truly Christian. And what I, Paul, was trying to say to them, and what I said to them in the letter on multiple occasions, was this Christian life is about faith. If you want to be a Jew, be a Jew. That's good. It's wonderful. It's a cultural expression of the love of God being set apart as Israel. But if you're a Gentile, you don't have to become a Jew to be a Christian. You can be a Christian. You can be a follower of Christ. You can proclaim the love of God and the acceptance of God for all without having to become a Jew and follow the rules and regulations. Indeed, when one enters into the faith relationship with Jesus, the faith relationship with God through Jesus, that law, that schoolmaster, in effect, dies. You don't follow the law to be saved any longer. You follow faith, which came before the law. You live by faith. I pray for my Jewish Christians, brothers and sisters. I pray for them that they might truly express the faith and love of God for all, and that they would stop trying to convert, bewitch these poor Gentile Christians and make them think they've got to behave like Jews to be saved. We'll continue on this story and on this path in the next several weeks. Take a break next week. But when we move into chapter 4, I want to ask you a favor. Pray very carefully about where in your life you find yourself stumbling back into the old idea of works righteousness, about how you find yourself trying to get God's will done by your own strength and your own abilities rather than trusting in God to work through you. Where in your life do you need to simply turn it over to Jesus? Turn it over to God rather than trying to do it all yourself. I invite you to offer that prayer when you come to the table of the Lord today. I invite you to offer that prayer in the coming couple of weeks and give thanks and praise to God for the expression of faith in father and mother Abraham and Sarah, and in how father and mother Abraham and Sarah set the pathway for faith for us all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
You've been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2010 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.